Turn with me to Psalm 119. Psalm 119, our text is verses 65 through 72 this morning. Let's hear the word of God. You have dealt well with your servant, O Lord, according to your word. Teach me good judgment and knowledge, for I believe your commandments. Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I keep your word. You are good and do good. Teach me your statutes. The proud have forged a lie against me, but I will keep your precepts with my whole heart. Their heart is as fat as grease, but I delight in your law. It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I may learn your statutes. The law of your mouth is better to me than thousands of coins of gold and silver. Heavenly Father, I ask once again your blessing on this time that we have to open your word. I ask, Holy Spirit, that you'll illuminate the scriptures to us, open our hearts, open up our minds to receive them. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, think about your life. Think about the things that you've gone through. Think about the things that you've done for folks and all kinds of things that have made up the wholeness of your life. And suppose, just for an instant, that there were book publishers who found out about you and said, I'd like to have you write your autobiography. Write the story of your life. How many pages could you write? Probably wouldn't know until you sat down to try. And as you wrote the story of your life, what would you emphasize? Would you focus on what's been done to you or what's been done for you? Or would you maybe consider what you've done for others in the process of chronicling the life that you lived? As a Christian, our story is completely incomplete if we take away the hand of providence. God is involved in our lives. God directs the paths that we walk. And sometimes it's a difficult path. But God always, always, always gives us the grace to do it. We are never, as children of God, set out alone and said, have at it, fend for yourself. The Almighty is always overseeing his children. It's true that we may not recognize on any given day the hand of God in our lives. Sometimes we get distracted by the events. It doesn't change the fact that God is there with us. If things are going well for us, we might applaud ourselves. And we might say, you know what? Things are going so well because we've made some really good decisions. If things are going poorly, we may start lashing out. If things are going poorly, we may start to complain, because things are not the way that we want them. Yet they are the way that God wants them, for his glory and for our edification. It is, in truth, a rare thing when we actually, as we live our day-to-day lives, when we step back and we consider that God is leading us, that he is dealing with us. David certainly has had his share in his lifetime. And David, yet in his song, excuse me, sits back and he says, "You have dealt well with your servant." Regardless of our current perspective on the circumstances of our lives, God does nothing that isn't well. The hymn writer, Fanny Crosby, wrote a hymn that I love. It says, "All the way my Savior leads me. What have I to ask beside? Can I doubt his tender mercy, who through life has been my guide? Heavenly peace, divinest comfort, here by faith in him to dwell. For I know whate'er befall me, Jesus doeth all things well. I know whate'er befall me, Jesus doeth all things well." She wrote a couple other stanzas to that. And we're going to sing this hymn after a while. It's a beautiful hymn. It's a hymn of comfort. But our faith is not in a hymn. The fact that our Lord deals with all things well is so because he says so. His word confirms it to us. Paul wrote to the Corinthians and he reminded them that all the promises of God find their yes in him. All the promises of God are not just floating out there. You know, sometimes we make promises to people. You know, they'll say, "Hey, can you do this?" And "Yeah, sure, I'll do that." You know, whatever. And we forget. God doesn't forget. The promises of God are sure because they are in him and they cannot be forgotten. He made promises to us clear back in Exodus. As he's giving the law to Moses, he said, "I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generations of those who hate me." That's a promise. But showing mercy to thousands of generations, to those who love me and keep my commandments. God's word is constant. It is covenantally sound. God is not capricious. God is not moody. He doesn't go with every wind that blows. He's not fickle. He's not unsteady. God is kind in his dealings with his people. And that never changes. I read recently just a short account, and I ask your forgiveness because I've forgotten the man's name. But he was one of the martyrs under Queen Mary. And those were difficult times. And he stood there and had been convicted, if you would, of really being faithful to the Christian faith and not to the Catholic, Roman Catholic faith. And they asked him, you know, about the situation. And he said, "If the Queen allows me to go free, I will be thankful. If the Queen commits me to a lifetime in prison, I will be thankful. If the queen decides to banish me from my land, I will be thankful. If the queen decides that I must be burned, I will be thankful. And my friend, we can only say these things because of the grace that God gives us. We cannot, in our own strength, in our own power, accomplish anything. We are not superheroes that can stand in the face of an enemy without the grace of God. And God willingly, lovingly gives it to us that we might venture on. David was thankful that God had dealt with him mercifully. And while God loved David very much, David was not always the perfect son. Matter of fact, when David sinned, he did it big. He didn't do the little things. David didn't maybe fudge his taxes a little bit. David didn't pick up a candy bar with that five-finger discount. David took a man's wife and then he had the man murdered. I mean, that's not really a great Christian testimony. What'd you do today? Well, I murdered a couple of folk and, you know, like that. That's not what we do. David did that. But I got to tell you, even when he stumbled like that and fell drastically, David still had a love for God. Do you think that when you sin, that you all of a sudden quit loving God? You don't. If you're a child of God, if you are redeemed by the Lord Jesus and you love him, you're going to stumble. But that doesn't cut your love off. You still love God. He still loves you. And David was confronted in a mighty big way. He'd sinned big. He got confronted big. Totally embarrassed in front of his court by the prophet Nathan. But it's what God used to bring him back to his senses, as it were. It was a difficult time, but God used that time to draw him closer. And David repented. David came to the Almighty with sincerity and with a truly contrite heart, a broken heart. And because of his love for God, David wanted to know him more. He wanted to know his ways and his principles. And he understood his own frailty. And so he petitions God. He says, teach me good judgment and knowledge. Teach me goodness. Teach me discernment. Bless me with your knowledge. Who among us could not use a heaping portion of such things? We all could. And his request is accompanied by an acknowledgement of his faith. He said, I believe your commandments. The commandments of God. What are the commandments of God? In this respect, the commandments of God are all the words of this book. At the time that David wrote, the canon was incomplete. Nevertheless, the complete canon are the commandments of God. This is what we need to meditate on. This is what we need to focus on. This is what we need to desire for ourselves, to apply to ourselves, so that we might walk more upright in the path that God leads us. Excuse me. David's testimony are not just simple words. They're words with meaning. He says, I believe. Sometimes we say we believe things. But when pressed, maybe not so much. But this is a belief that David speaks of that comes from the heart. I believe you, God. I believe your word. My faith is in you. Nobody enjoys a trial. Heaven knows I could have done without November 2021. And yet God said, you're going to have it. We would much rather live our lives in relative ease. We would much rather live our lives stress-free. But too much ease, too much relaxation tends to cause us to put our guards down, to relax just a little bit much, to forget who it is that gives us all good things. We have dangerous times where we might grow overconfident in our own abilities, in our own strength. And that's when the trouble starts. David said, when things were going well, that's when I went astray. David had it made. He was the king of Israel. He'd had his encounter with Saul. He'd had those trials, those struggles. But when things were going well, that's when he sinned. Biggest of all time. It's the nature of men. It's what we do. Jesus gave the parable of the prodigal, who had a very easy life. Growing up in the home of a wealthy man, gaining a huge inheritance before it was due him, and going out and blowing it. When he was living that life, he certainly didn't have God on his mind. He didn't have the things that his father had raised him in his heart. It wasn't until he'd lost it all and was sitting in a pen with pigs feeding them that truth came to his mind. David's own fall, as we said, came when things were going well. Before the affliction, I went astray. But David didn't stay astray. And neither should we. We fall into our difficult times. We stumble. We do whatever it is we do. You don't stay there. You confess your sin contritely. You're forgiven of your sins and welcomed back home. Why so? Because God is good. God loves his people. And he brings them back. Understand this, if you're a child of God, you go astray, he will always bring you back. The means of that happening may not be pleasant, but he loves you and will always bring you back. We must not forget that God is always good. In the times of our suffering, or in the times of relief. In the times of prosperity, or in the times of poverty. God can be only good, and God can do only good. And David says, in your goodness, teach me your statutes. Cause me to learn more, to be better prepared for the encounters that I find. When the evil one is about wielding the things that he does, give me the understanding and the grace to immediately come to you to fight this off. The father of lies is a master of spinning yarns. Particularly, the kind designed to discredit or ruin the reputation of a child of God. Even this very week, I've heard slanderous things against the children of God. And I say, it's not so. It is not so. The same ploy was used against David. The commentator John Gill said, it is no unusual thing for wicked men to speak all manner of evil falsely against the people of God. Understand, if somebody slanders you, somebody whispers an untruth, that that's all it is untruth. That Almighty God stands with you. And will say that no matter what they do, we will do right. No matter what anybody else says, we will say right. No matter what anyone else thinks, we will think right. Because of God's grace to us. Through all of the difficult times, the times of rebellion and the times of chastening, the times of persecution, the times of deliverance, God's grace has again been shown to me through his word. And the word of God edifies. No matter how it feels when you're hearing it, the word of God edifies. Sometimes it may not be enjoyable to us. But our affliction turns us back to Christ. That's what David is saying here as well. He says, it's good for me that I've been afflicted. It's a good thing that I may learn your statutes. The things that we endure, the things that the Almighty leads us through, made me remember what really matters. And David says, well, for him, this was an experience that was far more valuable than money. Our desire is to be at peace with God. Our desire is to be at one with Him as best we can. That's what we long for. That's what David longed for. And he kind of pushes us in that direction. The good news is that God will not reject you. His love for you is amazing love. And you won't be rejected. You're His child. And that's good news. That's good news. Let's pray.